What is happening, everybody? Welcome into today's show. Some big injuries around the conference as we head into SEC Week 7. We'll get you updated on all those, as well as some other big tidbits. The biggest upset of the season. Texas A&M took down Alabama on Saturday night. We'll catch up with David Nuño of Texags as he was on the field for that game. We'll talk all about it with him coming up next.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. It's great to have you guys along. Today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. Tell them Locked On sent you. I'm Chris Gordy. Thanks for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On SEC is free and available on all platforms. Let's jump into a lot to cover. Let's go around the conference.
Boots out to the right. Intercepted.
Makes the handoff.
What a catch.
Around the conference.
Georgia is the new number one team in the nation following Alabama's loss at Texas A&M on Saturday. And during his weekly press conference on Monday, Bulldogs head coach Kirby Smart said he was not going to get into hypotheticals about who will start at quarterback this Saturday against number 11 Kentucky. But he did say JT Daniels is getting better. He said, quote, "We're trying to get JT back. He is much improved." In the three games he's played, Daniels has completed 54 of 71 passes for almost 600 yards, five touchdowns, and two interceptions. But in his absence, Stetson Bennett has performed well for the Bulldogs, passing for 746 yards, eight touchdowns, and two picks. Over at LSU, Kayshon Boutte, their star wide receiver. Bad news for him. We knew he suffered a lower leg injury Saturday night. He was carted off the field. But it seems like now we've seen the last of him this year. According to Matt Zenitz of On3 Sports, Boutte is expected to miss the rest of this season. He had 38 catches for 508 yards and nine touchdowns through the first few weeks of the season. He is just a true sophomore, so LSU should get him back next year as a true junior. But rough news for one of the star players of this LSU offense this year. Over in Tennessee, during his weekly presser, Vols coach Josh Heupel announced senior linebacker Juwan Mitchell underwent shoulder surgery. He will miss the rest of this season. Mitchell's battled injuries all season long. He played in just two games for the Vols, recording eight tackles, including seven in that week two loss to Pittsburgh. He transferred into Tennessee from Texas this past summer, led the Longhorns in tackles in 2020. Over at Kentucky, man, the injury news just keeps coming. Mark Stoops, at his Monday press conference, announced that defensive lineman Octavius Oxendine will miss the rest of the season with a lower leg injury. He said he suffered it at the end of the LSU game on Saturday. Remember, this is a defense already missing Marquand McCall on the interior of the D-line. Oxendine started the previous three games for Kentucky on the D-line, left Kroger Field on Saturday night on crutches. Over at Arkansas, they will be without their senior right tackle, Dalton Wagner, indefinitely. The 6'9", 330-pounder missed Saturday's game against Ole Miss with a finger injury. And on Monday, Sam Pittman confirmed that surgery was required for Wagner and said he won't be available for a while. Said the finger had a finger come out, had surgery on it, won't be available for a while. Arkansas returns to action Saturday at home hosting Auburn. Over at Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin gave an update on running back Jerrion Ealy, who got hurt in the Alabama game, missed the Arkansas game last week. Kiffin said, "On Monday, we hope he plays this week. Credit to the offensive players who stepped up and scored 52 points against a really good defense. Three starters out was big." Overall this year, Ealy has 40 carries for 204 yards and a touchdown, which is an average over 5 yards per attempt. Over Florida, Dan Mullen announced that DB Elijah Blades is no longer with the Florida program. He was dismissed on Sunday. He said he's no longer with the team. I met with him, dismissed him from the program. Blades transferred to Florida from Texas A&M earlier this offseason, where he graduated earlier this year. When Ole Miss visits Tennessee this coming Saturday, it's going to do so in front of a checkered Neyland Stadium crowd. The Vols have not played a checkered Neyland game in over 4 years. Tennessee Athletic Director Danny White announced on Twitter that they will be doing it this week. Fans will be able to visit Checker Neyland's website and enter their section, row, and seat number to find out whether you will wear orange or white to the game. Don't mess this up. The first Checker Neyland was held in 2014. In the 3 years following, in 2016, the Vols defeated Florida to win for the first time in front of a checkered stadium. So let's see if it helps the Vols this weekend against Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Texas A&M, we know they shocked the nation on Saturday night in College Stadium, knocking off number one ranked Alabama. Fans stormed the field to celebrate the big-time victory. So on Monday, the No Fun Police, the SEC, announced a hefty fine for the Aggies. The school's been fined $100,000 for having fans rush the field. It was their second violation. They were last fined for the same violation when they rushed the field when they beat LSU in 2018. On Monday at his weekly presser, Alabama coach Nick Saban talked about his quarterback Bryce Young. Said he responded to the interception that he threw at the goal line in the Texas A&M game. He said, I thought he kept his poise, really stayed focused on the next play. I don't think that pick affected him. Saban said he was more concerned about his team's inability to run the ball in the red zone against the Aggies. When asked what A&M did to take that away, Saban said, I don't know if there's a good answer to that. I don't know if we challenged them running as much as we could. That's one of the things I think we need to work on trying to improve on. Number five, Alabama will look to bounce back with a road game at Mississippi State this Saturday. And coming off its bye week, Mississippi State, as we mentioned, they sit at 3-2 overall, 1-1 in the SEC, hosting Alabama this weekend. During his weekly presser, Mike Leach was asked where his quarterback Will Rogers has made the biggest strides from last season to this season. He said, quote, he's operating much quicker. Rogers has completed 215 of his 284 passes for over 1,800 yards, which ranks seventh nationally. He's also got 14 touchdown passes to just two interceptions. It'll be a good one Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central on ESPN. Mississippi State hosting the Crimson Tide. And there you go. That is around the conference. Thanks again for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Coming up next, David Nuno from Texags will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the big upset from over the weekend. Need to remind you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. It's for all the college football fanatics out there. If you haven't heard about Prize Picks, you need to go check them out. It is daily fantasy made easy. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy. They offer more props than anybody in the world. They offer any prop really you can think of. And when you go there and sign up and deposit, use our promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON. You will get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Pick 2 to 5 players and over under their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Use their award-winning app. You can find it on the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. It is safe, and they offer fast withdrawals at Prize Picks. Look, don't hesitate. Go check them out right now. Download the app, and when you sign up, make sure you use our promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON. You go to your app store, download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I know you're going to enjoy it. Go check them out. Also need to remind you about our friends over at rockauto.com. You save time and you save money when you use Rock Auto. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Prices always reliably low for every customer, and they got everything you need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use catalog today. You can find all the solutions to your auto parts needs. You just type your make, your model, your year, boom, there you go. Everything you need, just search what you need. They'll send it right to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck, and make sure you're right Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box that they know that we sent you. An amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. They are rockauto.com. Rolling along here, Locked On SEC, and joining us now, a guy who was very excited on the field at College Station on Saturday night. He was there covering the action, saw it happen firsthand. The upset of Alabama as Texas A&M took down the Crimson Tide. Our buddy David Nuno from Texags Radio joins us now. David, man, I'm sure you've been riding high these last couple of days here.
Yeah, it's funny because I rode very low the 2 weeks prior to that game against Alabama because the Arkansas game, not that I was surprised that Arkansas was able to beat them, but how flat A&M came out in that game. Mississippi State, every game in the SEC, as you know, is a losable game except maybe Vanderbilt. That being said, apologies to all your Vandy listeners. But that being said, the way they came out against Alabama was just really they had flipped the script because they had been really poor starts for them in every game but the New Mexico game. And then in Alabama, they started off great, and they started believing, and the crowd started believing.
Talk about what last week was leading up to this game, because, man, at least for us and for so many people, we're looking at A&M going, Zach Calzada has not looked the part. They, you know, they looked bad against Arkansas. Obviously, they lose the Mississippi State game, and just nobody gave A&M a chance in this game. Everybody's just expecting route because we just saw what Alabama did to Ole Miss. But what was it like? I mean, was anybody at A&M saying, hey, this could happen?
Yes. Well, first off, you have fans that thought that the Aggies wouldn't win a game the rest of the way, and then you had fans that thought they were going to beat Alabama 35-10. Like, there was that kind of – but, like, people close to me, I'd say Billy Lucci was the one guy who did not necessarily predict a victory, but he said, you know what, I think it's going to be closer than people think. I think Jimbo really believes in his guys. He's got a lot of insiders there at A&M who were telling them they were having a really good week of practice. You hear that often in press conferences. This was away from a press conference scene. People telling him close to the program that they felt something different with this team, that something had clicked. Now, this A&M team is not the A&M team that we talked about in the offseason. This is a completely different team because injuries and youngsters having to come and play. The quarterback's different in Zach Calzada. So this was a young team that had to grow up, and maybe they grew up a little bit after facing that early adversity against Arkansas and Mississippi State.
What was it about Calzada in this game? I mean, you know, because we saw him for so many weeks, and, man, he looked rattled. It was inaccurate at times. I mean, what made it all come together, and especially under pressure? I mean, we've seen all the stats all week long, but even when Bama blitzed or pressured and got in his face, it seemed like he thrived in those moments this week.
Yeah, you know what? I started thinking to myself this week that maybe we had Zach all completely wrong, because I thought of him as a quarterback that really struggled in those pressure moments. But if you go back, let's go see what happens. Against Colorado, he had his best moment when the pressure was on at the very end of the game. The week after, when you're taking on Arkansas, he had a mistake at the end of the game, which was an interception off of Bryce Foster's helmet. But if that pass is a little bit higher, they had just moved the ball considerably on the series before, maybe that game feels a little different. Against Mississippi State, he had a nice drive to make it a two-point game, and then the offensive line. So I really think it goes back to the offensive line. You have two freshmen starting, a couple guys that weren't expected to start this year. They're expected to kind of learn. And as they get more experience, as Zach Calzada gets more experience, they get a little bit more comfortable. I think that's been the biggest difference. If you can keep Zach Calzada clean, he's got a great arm. Sometimes he throws a little too hard, but he's got a great arm. And I think that was the big difference, keeping him clean and believing early on. That early success, Chris, I have to admit, to me, that was the big difference for him. He felt that he could get the plays done, and the crowd felt that he could get the plays done. And the other one big thing that I think people need to see, his receivers. You know, there were some body language issues early on in the season, some receivers not getting open. Kind of, they started believing him. When he got hot, they got hot.
Talk with our buddy David Nuno from Texags Radio. How about the hero of the night, your kicker, Seth Small? I mean, comes up big. And, man, it reminded me so much of the Florida game from a year ago, right, where it's like things have kind of gone your way, and here you go. You're setting up for the game-winning field goal, and it was almost the same amount of yardage and all that. But talk about that moment. And when you see the ball start to curve left and then hook right, I mean, it almost felt like somebody blew it back right, kind of pushed it, and it was destiny.
Yeah, it was exactly like the Florida game. You're exactly right, because the way the score ended, the way their defense had to stand up, it was a turnover in the Florida game. It was a three and out for Alabama. And then Seth Small, when you watch that kick, I'm thinking to myself, that there's no way that's going in. When you kind of – I saw it on the field, and it was hard to see, but when I watched the replay up close, you're like, oh, that's definitely not going in. But he knew. You see his body language. He knew once he kicked it, that's going in. It was like he had planned for it. But, yeah, that guy's been nails for this team all season long, no doubt about it.
We saw the videos on social media, but what was it like being there on the field? We talked about A&M, of course, getting fined $100,000. I don't think anybody cares about that, but what was it like being down there in the middle of all that and everyone rushing the field?
One of the biggest moments in my career. I was there with the Astros in 2015. I was there for the Astros many times, but my favorite moment with the Astros was in the wild card in 2015 when they beat the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. Being in there, seeing those young guys all celebrating together, that's up there, the World Series run. AC Law hitting a big shot playing A&M against Texas back in 2005, I believe it was. This the electricity at Kyle Field. It's always great. I mean, the week prior against Mississippi State, I walked in that field midway through the fourth quarter, and I'm like, this place is about to explode. Multiply that by 100. And then, you know, I've been in some of those situations where fans rush the court or the field. It's scary. This was not a scary situation. It was almost like they were waiting, and then they came in. And it was just a beautiful atmosphere. I'll tell you, you felt it on every play. You felt it in the press box. I was sitting next to Olin Buchanan, who I do the first hour of radio with, and we kept on looking at each other like, they may have a chance. They feel, and then the fans were into it. It was crazy. But you know what? This is a team that everybody expected to see in the offseason. They showed up, and those fans didn't forget that team. That's why they really blew up in that game.
I know you work out, David, but man, if you would have gotten pushed down by one of those Nick Saban, state troopers, I don't know what you would have done, because they knocked out a poor girl, and I mean, they're just steamrolling to get Saban out of there, and it was an ugly scene. But outside of that, a lot of joyous, and of course, we saw the kicker's family and all that. Really, really cool. Need to remind you guys about our friends at betonline.ag. They are back and better than ever. All eyes on the gridiron as football season is rolling along. Crazy to think we're near the halfway point for most of college football. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all things pro and college football action this season. With a new updated website and interface, they got even more props and odds and contests. And BetOnline continues to be your number one source for everything football. Head on over to their website right now. You can even do so on your mobile device. Sign up today, and if you've never signed up before, you can get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's going to get you your bonus when you sign up. From football to MLB playoffs, NBA is about to start. All of it is there for you. Don't wait to take advantage of all their amazing offers for this season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. Go check them out. Get in and get ready for all the games happening this weekend. I know you know we've talked about Sweat Block before, but if you haven't tried them, I really recommend it. Look, if you or someone you know suffers from excess sweating, especially that underarm pitting, as we call it, you need to try our friends at Sweat Block. They have antiperspirant wipes that are stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before you go to bed. The next morning you wake up, you wash, you go about your day without worrying about sweat. It is guaranteed. It's doctor created, doctor recommended, works for up to 7 days per use. It's been featured on the Rachel Ray Show. Even firefighters have tried it out, and it's a bestseller on Amazon for the past 10 years. Over 13,000 reviews. Manufactured right here in the U.S. of A. I know it sounds too good to be true, but you need to go check them out. If you or someone you love is dealing with excess sweating, you have to go check out Sweat Block. Get it today. You can even get 20% off over at sweatblock.com when you use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Use that. Get 20% off at sweatblock.com. You can even find them on Amazon and CVS, sweatblock.com. Go check them out today. Talk with our buddy David Nuno from Texags Radio. Quick perspective from the other side. What did you see from Alabama? Was it one of those where it felt like they didn't play their best, or was it this team was finally tested? I know they went to Florida in the Swamp a few weeks ago, didn't play their best, but found a way to win. But did it feel like it was almost that moment, the moment of the Florida game, this kind of caught up with them because Bryce Young is still a freshman. They are playing so many freshmen on this Alabama team.
You know, I'll tell you this. I think in the first half, they got punched in the mouth and they weren't ready for it. The second half, Alabama played Alabama football. They were able to run the ball. I mean, Bryce Young had great numbers if you look at him. He was flustered because they sent the house at him, right? They were sending different blitz packages, and Mike Elko really rebounded the defensive coordinator from a poor game against Mississippi State where he had a three-man front, and they were just throwing darts all day on the A&M defense. This was different. I don't think this was necessarily a bad Alabama performance. I think some people will spin it that way. I think this was a very good Alabama performance, but an exceptionally good performance from A&M on all three levels of football. Special teams touchdown, defensive sacks, and the offense. The quarterback who nobody believed in making plays. To me, it was all three levels of A&M exceeding expectations and really bringing it to Alabama. I put this more on A&M than I put it against Alabama. But I do feel sorry for Mississippi State this weekend.
I should clarify. I said freshman. I meant first-year starter for Bryce Young. Obviously, look, if you've never done it before, they didn't play in hostile environments last year. It was a COVID year. Now they're starting to experience a real environment, a true Kyle Field environment. I think, you know, like you said, took its toll on Alabama. Where does A&M go from here, David, just in terms of they're going to need some help? Obviously, Alabama, it wouldn't hurt for them to lose another game along the way. But for A&M, I guess, kind of refocus and try to run the table here the rest of the way, right?
Yeah, I think there it's certainly possible they can. It's very possible they lose a lot of games that they shouldn't. But if you look at the way the schedule plays out, you got Missouri this weekend. Missouri's defense has been pretty bad this year, even though it's on the road. And you definitely have to respect Missouri. That should be a win. South Carolina at home should be a win if this A&M team that we just saw showed up. Not the team that played against Colorado, not the team that showed up in the first half against Arkansas. They can certainly win those two games, put themselves at 6-2 at that point. And then after that, you got Auburn at home. I'm still trying to figure out who Auburn is. I'm still trying to figure out who A&M is. You've got Ole Miss as well. Those are, you know, a couple games, Ole Miss on the road, Auburn at home, that could go either way. This is a team that can certainly win 10 games this year. And I'm not even thinking about needing help because a week ago, people weren't even sure they would be bowl eligible. People saw what they did against New Mexico, saw what they did against Arkansas, and really saw what they did against New Mexico, a game that they dominated, but they really didn't. The score looked like they played well. They didn't really play that well in that game. So, you know, I think just play the games in front of you. It sounds so cliche. It sounds so much like a coach. But this team can win 10 games, but it is the SEC. It is two freshmen starting on the offensive line. And it's a quarterback that I don't know if we have a gauge on. He had a great game against Alabama. Can he follow that up? I think we'll find out here in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
David Nuño, Texags Radio, texags.com. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks for hopping on with us.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
All right, that is just about going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. My thanks to David Nuño from Texags for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow, starting to look ahead to Week 7 of the SEC, getting you set for some of the big matchups this weekend right here on Locked On SEC. And again, thank you guys for making us your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen. Go check out some of our other great podcasts along the Locked On Podcast Network. Tons of SEC schools we got you covered with, from Locked On Auburn with Zach Blackerby. Eric Kane's got you with Locked On Vols. Go check them all out. Find them wherever you find your podcasts. I'm Chris Gordy right here, Locked On SEC. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.